Nick Mason is a founder and the drummer of Pink Floyd. In fact, he's the only member of the band who has appeared on every Floyd album, from 1967's The Piper at the Gates of Dawn to The Endless River, released in 2014. Unattended Luggage, a three-disc box set of his solo projects, is out Friday. Nick, thanks for joining us. What prompted the box set?
Initially, it was Rick Fenn who said, we really ought to re-release Profiles. Because he's been in Australia. Well, he's living in Australia these days, but I think he still has, as I do, great affection for the record, and it's totally unavailable. And so I undertook to see whether Warner Brothers might be interested in. Is it called Warner Brothers still? Well, probably not. Just Warner's. Whether they'd be interested in re-releasing it. And out of that, they more or less came back with, I think it was their idea to say, well, why don't we do some sort of box set of all your solo stuff in one hit? And thinking about it, I thought that was a great idea. And this was probably, it started a year and a half, 2 years ago maybe. And then just by chance, as this was sort of coming to fruition, the idea of this this band, new band, surfaced really at the same sort of time.
A Sauce Full of Secrets. I want to talk about that in just a minute. Tell me about the other two discs in the box set.
Okay, so there's three discs in all. One is Profiles, which is the album I did with Rick, and the other is a film soundtrack called White of the Eye, which was a film by Donald Cammell that was made 25 years ago, I guess now. And Donald was a respected film director and had made this movie. And I'd met Donald because he had been produced by the record company to do a video for Lie for a Lie, for one of the tracks on the album. And so Rick and I ended up doing this soundtrack, which was interesting, fun, and it's a very dark movie, I have to say. I can hardly bear to watch it, but it was a good opportunity. And then the other album is an album I did with Carla Bley, which was actually made during or just after we'd finished recording The Wall, and made in America in Woodstock at Carla's studio there. And that was a very different kettle of fish, very jazz orientated, very sort of jazz orchestra element to it, but great fun to make. And almost the juxtaposition of these entirely different albums with entirely different influences seemed like really quite a nice thing to do.
Now, when you say Woodstock, do you mean Woodstock, New York?
Woodstock, New York, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Profiles and Fictitious Sports I've had in my collection for a long time, but I had actually never heard White of the Eye. But that wasn't the only soundtrack that you did with Rick Fenn. You did a few, didn't you?
We did lots. But generally shorts, sort of, in some cases for advertising things. In others, we did quite a lot of short documentary soundtracks, things like that. And some of those actually were developed into things on Profiles.
So how long had it been since you actually had sat down and listened to some of this stuff yourself?
Well, 28 years, I guess. You know, you sort of tend to park these things up, and you'd have to deliberately go and put them on. And I very rarely ever think of putting on my own music, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. I would think that it would be sort of the equivalent of looking at old photographs of yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, quite right.
Have you stayed in touch with some of the players on these albums? You said that Rick Fenn was the person that got the box set started.
Well,
what about some of the others?
Well, really, the one I've stayed in contact with the most is Mike Mantler, because he was married to Carla at the time, but I've ended up over the years doing a number of different projects with him, which included some sort of assisting with one record that he did called Gory Songs with Robert Wyatt again. And another one he did with, I remember just the drummer was Jack DeJohnette, which was a fantastic thing to listen to. Yeah, with Mike I've done, whenever he's, I think he occasionally gets bored and thinks, I'll get Nick to come and do something for me. And so it's one of those sort of relationships. He's probably the one I've seen most of.
So we should mention the box set is available on CD as well as LP. And I just wondered where you came down on the whole digital versus analog sound debate.
I'm a bit ambivalent about it. I mean, we'd spent so much time trying to make perfect sounds. And, you know, the CD seemed to be the ultimate thing and was for many years. And then suddenly everyone decided that actually, when push came to shove, they preferred the sound of a vinyl record. So I understand why. I mean, this idea of, you know, the vinyl does sort of slightly soften the edges. Yeah. But the trouble is, actually, I suppose I have a bigger beef, really, with the fact that, you know, people simply don't listen to music on good equipment anymore. They just rely on earbuds. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to get quite what's gone into the recording off a tiny, you know, off an MP3 player and a pair of cheap earbuds.
Yeah, exactly. You take the compressed MP3 file and you add it to the earbuds. What have you really got?
No, I come from a generation that believes that in every living room there should be two enormous speakers the size of giant coffins lurking in the corners.
I like
waiting
it.
To bombard you with endless bass rumble.
We're talking with Pink Floyd's Nick Mason, drummer, co-founder of the band. Let's play some music from the new box set, Unattended Luggage. This is a track originally from Nick Mason's Fictitious Sports. We'll have more with Nick Mason after Can't Get My Motor to Start here on Floydian Slip. Floydian Slip, an hour of music by Pink Floyd and solo works, including Nick Mason's Fictitious Sports. That's Can't Get My Motor to Start. Nick Mason is joining us on the program this week. You have in the past threatened to go out on a solo tour. That's not exactly what you're doing. You are bringing some guys along with you, actually.
Well, I absolutely believe there is no room for a drummer doing a solo tour on his own. Drum solo, as far as I'm aware, is something that is put into a concert in order to let the rest of the band go off and get a drink and have a cigarette. And unfortunately, quite often the audience take that as a cue to also go off, have a drink and have a cigarette. And the way forward was to find good people who would come and support the whole idea.
So how did you put these people together? I mean, Guy Pratt is a name and face that Floyd fans know, but who are the rest of these guys?
Lee Harris was with a band called the Blockheads, who were the band for Ian Drury.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
And Don Becken was actually someone they found when we agreed that we obviously had to have a keyboard player to do all the difficult bits. The other character is Gary Kemp, who is still in a band called Spandau Ballet. And clearly we thought we needed a new romantic, a blockhead, a very old drummer, and a humorous bass player, which is sort of what we got.
You premiered in London in May, and now you're touring Europe in September, starting this weekend.
That's right.
Are you looking at the same set list as you played in London?
We played the same set list on the full shows in London, but that was really where we'd got to. And I think there are opportunities to sort of open up a bit. I mean, there's lots of material from that early period. But in terms of what we all would like to play and what we think would suit us properly is another matter. So there's a lot of suggestions flying around at the moment. I'm sure we'll have some more and the ability to switch things around a bit, maybe night to night.
I'm guessing most of this music you probably haven't played in front of an audience for 40, 50 years.
Well, and in some cases, never played in front of an audience.
What's that like?
Great, actually, because they can't tell you how it should have been played because they've never heard it before, which is always an advantage, which is not true if we were playing things like Comfortably Numb, where they all be shaking their heads and going, well, the Australian Pink Floyd do it better.
Exactly. So please tell me you're rolling tape on some of these shows.
We will do, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a chance that will be made public at some point?
Although I think we'll leave it for a bit, just so we play ourselves in a bit. You know, for a new band to have done four shows and then start talking about the live album seems a little premature.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll ask you what probably everyone in the U.S. is asking you. Are you planning on bringing the show to the United States?
We'd definitely like to bring it to the States. Absolutely.
So do you have any concrete plans? Any idea of where in the U.S. you might go?
God, no.
No.
Well, no. We're just a burning desire to get back over to America. No, I think we'll do the European tour, see, you know, what we need to do or whether we need to correct things or whatever.
Sure.
And look to bring it over next year.
So this is a little off topic, but I wonder, their mortal remains, that's wrapped up in Rome, right?
It wrapped up in Rome, but it moves and opens in September in Germany.
Okay. So any plans to bring that to the U.S.?
Yes, that is. We're definitely intending to bring that to America next year.
Nick, thanks for talking with us, and break a leg in September.
Thank you.